We've been hearing a lot about financial scandals in the past year, and our next report is a reminder that these cases linger for years in the courts. You will recall the energy trading company Enron, which went bankrupt in 2001. That wiped out $60 billion of Enron stock, decimated employee pensions, and eliminated thousands of jobs in Houston. Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling was convicted of multiple crimes and sentenced to 24 years in federal prison. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear Skilling's appeal, and NPR's Wade Goodwin brings us up to date.
Sitting in a federal prison is a nearly forgotten man. He helped give birth to an entirely new industry, trading natural gas futures. Jeff Skilling was the real brains behind the magnificent success story called Enron. His fall from grace was just as spectacular, becoming one of the most despised men in Houston history, which is saying something. And now, after being consigned to the dustbin, Skilling could be poised to make his curtain call as the victim of a federal prosecution gone astray.
I mean, I think there will be a lot of people who will be angry if the Supreme Court reverses this decision.
Lauren Steffi is the business columnist for the Houston Chronicle who's been covering the Enron prosecutions. He doesn't believe the U.S. Supreme Court should let Skilling walk, but he thinks there's a chance Skilling might.
Usually when the Supreme Court takes a case like this, it usually winds up in some sort of a reversal.
There are two questions the court has agreed to consider. The first, should the judge have granted Skilling's request for a change of venue? Daniel Petricelli is Skilling's lawyer.
The problem with the jury pool in Houston was that you could barely find a single individual anywhere who had not himself or herself suffered economic calamity.
Before the trial, Petricelli pleaded with U.S. District Judge Sim Lake to move the proceedings out of Houston to Phoenix or Atlanta. He argued that the entire city felt duped after Enron imploded.
You cannot have the victims of a crime sitting in judgment of the defendant.
But change of venue is just the first shot in Petricelli's arsenal. The second round concerns a federal statute that was at the heart of the government's case against Jeff Skilling. Namely, that the Enron CEO deprived the company's employees and shareholders of what federal law calls his honest services.
A scheme to deprive another of the intangible right of honest services. And that's just a quote from the statute. The question is, what the heck does that mean?
Susan Klein teaches law at the University of Texas Law School. Klein says the Honest Services Statute was originally designed to convict public officials who were lining their pockets. But as Wall Street corruption became higher profile during the last decade, prosecutors began to look for additional ways to charge those executives. Deprivation of honest services became that tool, giving the government the opportunity to introduce a broader range of evidence. It was a concept that was simple for juries to understand, and it had the benefit of being just vague enough to allow prosecutors to apply it to a number of allegedly dishonest and illegal acts.
I mean, I think that's what the prosecutors would like. They'd like it to be whatever they charge it to be, and they can convince 12 jurors that it should be. But a lot of circuit courts are very troubled by that.
But federal prosecutors reply that the proof is in the conviction pudding. When prosecutors present evidence of repeated deceptions by a company's top officers, juries seem happy to convict of honest services fraud. Jacob Frankel is a former federal prosecutor and an SEC enforcement lawyer.
This is the law that has been used to prosecute them and prosecute them successfully. Given the broad range of fraud with respect to corporate boardrooms, government prosecutors saw an opportunity to enhance their arsenal with the expansion of the honest services fraud doctrine.
The federal appeals courts have upheld some honest services convictions and thrown out others, with the appeals courts pointing in both directions like the Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz. The question is ripe for the nation's highest court. But University of Texas law professor Susan Klein predicts that the Supreme Court is not going to gut the honest services statute entirely.
I don't think it's going to happen. It wouldn't be just these cases that would be reversed. They're basically saying honest services isn't really a crime. Well, what do we do with all those people who have been convicted and who are now in prison serving sentences for honest services mail fraud? They were convicted of something that isn't a crime.
For those who want to see Jeff Skilling spend the balance of his life in prison, and there are many in Texas, the Supreme Court's decision to take the Skilling appeal is ominous. If the court rules that Skilling should have been granted a change of venue, his convictions would be thrown out. A reversal on the honest services statute might result in a majority of the convictions tossed. For Jeff Skilling, the Supreme Court's decision is sweet hope that he won't have to spend most of the rest of his life in federal prison. Wade Goodwin, NPR News, Dallas.